So a few weeks ago, me and Kelly took my brother out to the shooting range for a little boys' day. It was a ton of fun. Because one, what 14-year-old boy doesn't love, you know, watching clay pigeons explode in the air? But one cool thing that happened was the day before, he texted me and he was like, "Hey, I have something to give you that I got at a thrift store." Hmm. I was like, "Okay, you're 14, so I don't know how you got it." But and so the day of, as I go to pick him up, he comes out of the house and he hands me, I don't know if you guys can see this on the Zoom call, but this is Thumb Wars. This is a Star Wars parody movie done all in thumbs dressed up as the characters of Star Wars.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Ain't that a delightful little abomination?
Where do you even find a DVD like that?
I have no idea. He said he got it at a thrift store. I have no idea.
And well, it's still better than the sequel trilogy.
Wait, what year did it come out?
Yeah, that's a question.
Oh, God.
97, that's my guess.
93, I think.
Oh?
1963.
Because I remember it was on
before
VHS.
Star Wars.
I remember watching that on VHS, actually, back in the day. So
1999.
Oh, entertainment.
I was closest.
That's a very late 90s kind of thing to put out.
Yeah.
It was one of a kind.
I mean,
it's, well, that's great. And it was right before The Phantom Menace. That's pretty cool.
You know, this must have came out, and then they were like, George was like, you know what? I should really make another one of those.
Any more politics?
But it got me thinking all the other parody movies out there. I mean, this, along with like Spaceballs. Spaceballs is so fucking good as a parody movie. My dad is the one who showed me that one, and like I think to this day he can still quote the time paradox thing. I forget bit that's called, but when they're saying like, no, now is then. What about then? Well, then is then, but now is now then, or whatever it is. It's so fucking funny.
My go-to, and it's just, I guess it's my kind of comedy. Movies like The Naked Gun. And
Airplane.
But unironically, love those movies. Yeah,
Spy Hard. What?
You never saw Spy Hard?
Have I not?
Oh my god!
Oh my god! I might have to add that.
Weird
to
Al
the list.
Did the opening theme for Spy Hard.
He would have.
Speaking of Weird Al, my favorite parody movie is UHF.
Of course, yeah.
Speaking of the king of.
The king of parodies.
Spy Hard is it's Leslie Nielsen. It's basically, it was after Naked Gun.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I just googled it, and yes, the cover is familiar. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
My god, that's so funny.
I googled Spy Hard, and one of the clips is a guy with a parachute vest on, and he's pouring scotch into a glass. he's like parachuting down. So yeah, this looks like a Leslie Nielsen bit.
Spy Hard was one of those movies that was on Stars all the time, and like my cable provider like gave us Stars for free with our like cable package, and it was like one of the movies that Stars played all the time. And I watched it so many times.
I'll watch anything with Leslie Nielsen.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, even like, what was it, one movie? Dracula, Dead and Loving It, where he is Dracula.
Oh, my God. I love that
movie.
It's
like a parody of the whole thing. Yeah. It's.
Oh, my God. That was amazing.
You're just like, oh, my God.
I heard a story that he was trying to be a serious actor, and that was his, like, genuinely. If he was had like a dramatic role, he would act exactly that way.
He did
and
a lot.
Nobody could take him ever seriously.
He did a lot of dramatic movies early in his career. Like that was what he did start out as doing before he was doing all the slapstick comedy.
Mm.
Actually, Dracula Dead and Loving It was also Mel Brooks. I thought that was the case.
Yep.
Hey, he's in it.
Oh yeah. God.
Oh
yes.
My god, that one's amazing.
Yeah, I've been thinking so hard. Like I don't know any parody movies. I don't know any parody movies. I finally thought of it.
Uh-huh.
Galaxy Quest.
Technically?
Yeah, there's a parody movie.
Galaxy Quest.
That's a good one,
It's so good.
It's
Tim Allen, Alan Rickman.
Yeah, oh, I mean, Alan Rickman, the legend. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Sigourney Weaver, too. Yeah. Like, oh, it's just so good.
No, that's an interesting one, because it is so a parody good. Movie, but it's taking itself seriously. So, like, it's supposed to be a play on Star Trek and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But, oh, my, yeah, I never thought about that, but that is a parody movie. Yeah, that's a really good one, too.
Oh, yeah. Especially with Tony Shalhoub's character, and that is just cracks me up every time. he just goes with the flow on every single thing. He's just like, huh, how about this? I'm pretty sure he's stoned out of his mind the entire night. God, like, honestly, like, think of, like, parody movies. One of the first ones I remember, like, it was previewed for so long, like, previews were coming out for it, was Scary Movie franchise.
I mean,
the first three, I still love the first three.
Yeah,
the first three were amazing.
Yeah, it's just like the second one. I mean, there's just so many things. Like, I forget the actor's name, but he was the creepy the host of the mansion.
Like
we've always like referenced it back and forth. It's just like, take my strong hand.
Like, no, no. Give me the other one. It's not strong.
Oh my god, I love this. One of my favorite scenes was from the third one, and it was like when Charlie Sheen's character had a flashback of his wife getting pinned. It was her death, and she was like, in a car crash, and the officer's like, "Your wife is, she's split in half." He was like, he held up like a hot dog bun, and he was just like down the middle at the waist.
And like each time it goes back to her, she's like, "I don't understand." No, like this. Then he pulls out a taco, which breaks
in half. I don't know if it's the third or the second one, but is that one of the characters was like trying to be Eminem or something? It's hilarious.
Oh, third one.
Oh, yeah, that was number three.
They were doing 8 Mile.
That little kid kept getting hit. It was hilarious.
Put down the hood. I am in the hood. Oh man, I'm never going to be a rapper.
Oh my god.
I love. And then he was getting on the bus, and he got his head stuck in the bus door.
It's all such dumb comedy, but it's so funny.
And of course, Leslie Nielsen is in that one, in the third one, as the president.
Oh, okay,
he was the president of the United States.
Yep. I googled it really quick just to get some honorable mentions here. Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
I thought about saying that. Parody movie?
It is, yes. Yeah. It's a parody off of fantasy epics. Yeah.
No. It is its own original work of art, inspired just from creative minds.
Well, let's say this, that it is somehow a backwards parody of every D&D group.
It's a future-looking parody.
Yeah, right, yeah.
And we all have that one friend in our life that quotes that movie way too fucking much.
That was me.
Hey, I stopped, okay? I had to pull it back.
Jake, we gathered here today for a reason.
Oh my god.
I mean, but Todd Place is just a legend.
Young Frankenstein.
Oh, yeah.
Frankenstein's fantastic.
What's Mel the Brooks? Name on the brain? Abby something. Abby what? Abby normal.
You gave me an abnormal brain.
Gene Wilder was fantastic.
Gene Wilder was amazing.
I mean, anything with him in it is good anyway. Man, no, but like I think the key to it is just knowing that it's supposed to be so stupid, and then just like leaning hard into that. I mean, you got stuff like Austin Powers, obviously a parody of every single spy movie possible, James Bond specifically, but like, you know, that entire genre. We watched this recently, and I think I've said this before, but like the first one is really good. The second one they tried too hard, and it's funny. But for some reason, the first one just hits so much better, and it's like a timeless movie. It's just one of those ones that like still holds up today. And in that same realm, Team America World Police.
Yeah, oh that's a good one.
That is certainly a movie.
Some would say a work of art.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I remember that came out with. Oh my god, when did this come out? 2004. I was just in high school when this came out. And I remember that I really wanted to see that. And my mom was just like, you're not watching Two Puppets Fuck. Okay, I'm just not letting that happen. And I was like, what happens in this movie?
You're just selling it harder, Mom.
Now I have to see this train wreck.
They also projectile vomit for like a good couple minutes.
3 minutes, just puppet vomit.
Oh my god, did you guys see Walk Hard, a Dewey Cox story?
Yes, oh my god, yes.
Oh my god, that one's amazing. That's Judd Apatow as, like, making fun of, like, the up-and-coming, like, country music star, like, life story.
Oh my gosh.
It is so goddamn funny.
What's his name called?
Walk Hard. The Dewey Cox story. It was, obviously,
John C.
Like,
Riley was yeah, Dewey John Cox. C. Riley.
Oh, yeah.
The wrong kid died.
I don't think it's a parody, but Talladega Nights is another good one. I don't think that's technically a parody, but...
I just love it. That movie's funny as hell.
Yeah, it is.
I just remember it's like Dewey Cox story. He's just like, every time he's like, man, and you never pay for drugs. Not even once.
And you never paid for drugs.
Not once.
Well, it's interesting because none of you paid for the drugs that you guys got last episode. And
they
you guys
bad.
Got a lot of injections.
They were bad drugs.
They were bad drugs. Yeah. Maybe you paid in blood, actually. Never mind. You did pay. It was just the worst price that you could have asked for.
I'm very hurt. Grimshaw's very hurt.
Yeah. Everyone's hurt.
So the end of last episode, you guys had defeated you'd taken out both Noxious Needlers, and you had killed one of the Scarlet Tribe Poisoners, and the last two decided, oh no, we're at a disadvantage now. Mm-hmm. We're gonna try to funnel them into this room. Here's the situation: is that the last two of them are in the northern room, northwestern facing room, and they closed the door, but then Grimshaw went up and opened the door. So now they don't really have much protection like they thought they would with a door.
I mean, that door solved all their problems.
that door almost secured them, the win, in their mind at least. But I do want to give a hero point for old Jonathan Grimplin. As your description of how you killed that second Noxious Needler was just epic, man.
I can't wait to re-listen and remember it.
Just he's in a bloodlust. He was just
yeah,
another person.
Like John literally goes method with Benson. Like, I don't know where you keep getting all these goats that you're just killing during every one of our battles, but I farm them. And Benson rolls a nat 20.
Blood sports up.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah, man. Well, it is your turn, actually. So Grimshaw just opened up this door, rolled a one, and that's how you're fatigued now.
I got
remember
really
that.
Tired.
You got really tired, yeah. So
it was a really door. Heavy door.
Yeah. Door so heavy.
Watch okay. out, the door. It's cursed. It's cursed.
Yeah. Benson just... blood all over him from, well, whatever these things have for blood. Just runs in. It's like going to try to... he's not technically getting flanked right now, so that's actually a pretty decent position. So he moved in. I am going to take a swing.
All right. So the first one still has her short sword, so that's the one that you're... Yeah, that's probably the better one. They're at a huge disadvantage here, so it's going to be laughable if they can do anything to you guys.
What was that? What was that fucking swing?
Oh, no.
Natty 4 on the die for a 23.
That is a miss, unfortunately.
Dang it. Okay, last swing for the fence. Oh, that might actually hit. 24.
Nope, just a miss.
All right. And that's my turn.
Okay. Jumping to Elkwood.
Okay.
How are you feeling after the last bat, those two constructs?
Not good, Bob.
Not good?
No, he's just over half health, so it's all good.
Okay.
Grimshaw graciously gave him the lay on hands. Managed to drink a potion, but, I mean, he's hurting. Man, I don't know what the hell these needles, they could have been shared. Not really thinking, don't want to think about it too much, really.
Yeah, I know, right? Oh, share between you guys, so.
Yeah, that's,
you know.
Yeah, and plus, you know, all the chemicals mixing in and stuff. Like, he's burning from the inside. Like, I honestly can't remember from the previous episodes, like, which ones were used. But, I mean, still. But, so, first action. He's going to hunt prey on the one right next to Grimshaw.
Okay, so it's the closest one to you guys.
Yep. Free action. He's going to drop the Great Club. And second action, he's going to quick draw and throw out the star.
Cool.
All right.
Let's see. Oh, I got to re-equip. All right, there we go. And that is a 34 to hit.
That's a hit, my friends.
Alrighty. So that's going to be some damage. 14 points of damage. As his blade whizzes past Grimshaw's face for a moment. And let's see, that swing. I have two actions left because I'm hasted.
Oh, yeah, the haste is still going.
Yeah, he's going to swing, throw again.
Okay.
At a minimal.
Yep.
That's a 23, so that's going to be a miss.
Yeah, miss.
And last action, he's going to give Grimshaw Warden's Boon.
Ooh,
oh, baby. Nice.
You see where that slash was?
Mm-hmm.
Go right for it, right there.
Yeah, I'll try.
You do not inspire confidence.
Grimshaw turns around and gives you a thumbs up. He's got bags under his eyes. He's all pale.
I'm already pale. That's my natural complexion.
Sure.
I need coffee.
Kezra, it's your turn.
Kezra, he's kind of like back in the room near the southern needler, but he can see into the room. He can see both poisoners. He just shouts up,
"We only need one of you to surrender. So who goes first?"
And he'll delay.
Right. The first one sees your proposal and looks at you and goes,
"Fuck you, orc!"
And she goes to stab out at Benson.
Very eloquent.
Yeah.
Actually, Grimshaw looking weaker. I think she will try for you.
No way.
See, she's gonna do her. So she's gonna apply poison first, and then try to stab here.
Right.
37 to hit.
That hits.
Oh.
16 slashing damage.
Take 12 off of that.
Yay!
And then make me the fortitude save.
My fortitude save has gone down.
Oh.
You know, sometimes for an important save, you gotta bring out an important dice. I'm bringing back the OG Dice Awai. Let's go!
Alright.
OG Dice Awai has never let me down. Wink. I got a 23.
23. That is a success. You were fine.
Thank God. Yay, it's terrible alive. Poison.
Yay, alive.
And then she will just do another quick stab with her last
after
action.
I hit her.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Get your swing.
And I will be hitting her because I was a natural 17.
Okay.
Cool. So
what is it?
36.
That is one away from a crit, unfortunately.
Shame. That's okay. I'll take regular damage.
Yep.
Come on. This is that club damage, right?
That's still 2d8, right?
It's a mace, but yeah.
It's a mace. He transformed into a mace. Okay.
Yep.
15 points of damage.
Nice.
All right.
He's like, this mace that looks very similar to Milani's mace. Wow, you just buy these on wholesale.
I know, Milani's a morning star. It's a common misconception.
Oh, right.
It's a completely different thing.
Oh, yes.
It's an entirely different kind of flying.
All right, so that was... okay, there we go. So the second one after crossbow...
I will take my turn.
Woo-hoo! Oh, never
mind. And guys are just like, guess it's not you.
And he lifts up his staff of fire, channels energy through it, and his eyes begin to glow as he casts True Strike, and he'll cast Ignition.
Yes! Oh,
cool. So, two attack rolls on this. Let's see if I get an at 20. Come on. It's True Strike, so no circumstance penalty, Daisy.
Yep.
Natural 20!
Oh my god.
Yes.
Finally, it happened.
It's the best use of True Strike.
Finally, it happened.
True Strike into a natural 20.
That's your first time, right, Kayla, ever getting...
If it's not the first time, it's like the second time. This combo so often that I just never, ever get a natural 20.
Usually end up missing with this combo.
Okay, pretty lame spell card, but it's still a spell. Distraction. Yeah. The target is flat-footed till the end of its next turn. So, good news for all of you if it lives.
She's not, for one.
Alright.
Yeah, this damage might kill her.
Certainly.
26 damage.
Okay, so you hit 14 left, so please describe your kill.
I mean, she erupts into flames. erupts into flames, just collapses to her knees, and just falls at Grimshaw's face.
Both the paladins are like, Jesus Christ!
Oh my god!
And then Kendra glares at the one in the back, he's like, you want this too?
And Grimshaw's like, hey, I'm trying to help you out. Just do what I said.
The Grimshaw's all, like, fatigued.
Middle of fucking fight.
She says, fuck every single one of you! And she shoots you with her crossbow.
Okay.
I really want to throw her out the window.
32 to hit you, Grimshaw.
Yeah.
Alright. It's going to be 15 points of piercing.
Wait a darn tootin' second. I've had Mountain's Resilience on this whole time.
Oh god, Tim.
So that means I didn't take any damage. I get those 4 points of healing back. And then how much was this just now? 15 of how much? What kind of damage?
Piercing.
15? So 10 points of damage. Oh, wow.
This is when Tim's like, and last episode I took this much, so I'm getting that back.
No, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to say that Mountain's Resilience, I'm just going to track the minutes now.
Right. I don't think Mountain's Resilience would have helped you against the ice, so it doesn't matter.
No, it wouldn't have. It's only physical damage. Yeah.
Okay, so then make me the 42 save on the giant scorpion venom.
Okie dokie. Scorpion venom. You don't stand a chance.
What?
That one.
Oh my god.
Against scorpion venom.
Now hold on, wait. What does it get you total?
It gets me a 20 total.
So 20 total. That is a critical fail then, because, alright. So you go straight to stage two. So you take 2d8 for 8 points of poison, and you are enfeebled 1 for 1 round.
Wonderful. Just enfeebled, fatigued.
I don't feel so good, guys.
And then she's going to drop the crossbow reaction, take out the short sword, and sit there. Yeah. Because that's all she could really do. Not going to give Benson a full round action. That'd be stupid. Grimshaw, it's your turn.
Alright, I got the Warden's Boon. I am feeling...
No, you don't.
Wait, what happened?
Because the one I was hunting prey died.
Oh.
So, once again, wasted.
Waste to Kezra.
Thanks, Kezra.
Fucking bastard!
But did Kezra aim in that spot?
So, Grimshaw is going to... He's gonna stumble forward. He's not thinking straight. He's not feeling well. So he's gonna stumble forward to Shma, which is behind her, to hopefully provide. Actually, right here. Provide a flanking opportunity for Benson's should he choose. And he's very, very feebly striking out with the Morningstar Milani. Morningstar looks it's doing all the lifting right now.
Didn't these guys have reactive strikes?
The Poisoners?
Yeah, I thought they did.
No, no, they don't have attack of opportunity.
27.
27, that is a hit.
Oh, barely, I'm sure. And then I got, oh wow, 6-ish, okay. Oh, 17 points of damage.
Alright.
And he's going to very weakly raise his shield. And then what happens as far as poison goes?
Oh yes, the scorpion. giant scorpion venom. So make me another fortitude save, okay. And we'll see what stage all you right. go to.
I guess I should switch dice again.
Now, because you have the juggernaut thing or whatever for the your fortitude save, I imagine you'll go straight from stage 2 to 0.
That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah.
Or I can roll a 5, and I got a 24.
So that's a success.
Oh my gosh.
So I'm
good.
It is a low DC, so...
That was extremely unnecessary.
Yeah.
So I'm cured. Yay!
You're cured. You're fine. Alright. Top of the round, Sir Benson.
Benson will move up, and he will intimidate... And he'll just say, I don't give quarter to slavers. And he's going to smash down.
Yeah.
Simple to the point. That's as intimidating as you can be.
Mm-hmm. So, fuck me. It was a pretty good intimidation roll, not gonna lie.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, I keep taking my stats off. It's the dumbest thing.
Who needs a character sheet, you know?
Right. 32.
Whew. 32, yeah, that is, that's a almost a critical success, so she is frightened 1.
Okay. First attack, 31.
Hit.
I love having a plus fucking 20 attacks. No, not that. Damage. I need damage. Come on. 15 points of damage. Damn.
All right.
And I guess I stepped, intimidated, attacped, so.
Oh, yep, so it's all 3. Okay. All right. Elkwood, it comes to your turn.
All right.
Yeah, guys, there's no need to even waste your words on these cretins. And he's hunting prey on this one. 2 action. He's going to throw the star knife.
All right.
So he's going to give himself an extra boost, ignore his soft cover, all that stuff. So that is, oh my god, that's a 38 to hit.
Oh.
Yep, that's a crit.
Oh, so that's a wonderful crit, because crit damage with the eclipse, by the way, she will be blind.
She will be blind.
Yes.
Oh. Hold on, I gotta double check on this.
Man, it sucks to be blinded by another combatant when you were flanked by the 2 champions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's sorry. About as fucked as you can get.
God dang.
Alright, so 4, 2, 2, 6. What's that? Says 38 points of damage here.
Oh my gosh.
With the D8, Hunter's Edge mixed with... where's that D6 coming from? That's what I'm trying to make sure of.
Did you have is that like elemental damage that's wrongly applied?
Or is it deadly or something like that?
Deadly D6.
That was
a max on the D6.
Nice. Too, so.
That'll do it.
That'll do it. So all of a sudden she gets hit, and 1 action left. He's going to, I don't know, Grimshaw, give Warden's Boo to Grimshaw.
Yes.
he's really hoping you get this.
I'll do it. He's rooting for it.
Alright, Gezra, it is your turn to make sure that Warden's Boon goes nowhere.
They don't call him kill-stealing Gezra for nothing.
Gezra just kills him again, because whoops.
Gezra will move up in front of Elkwood, get a little clearer picture of this poisoner blind.
Yep.
Not doing too good, he's like, you had your chance. And he snaps his fingers again, casts another ignition.
All right.
And that's not probably going to hit 20. 4.
Yeah, miss, unfortunately. Even with frightened on, yeah, still a miss. Okay, it comes to her turn then. She is blind and frightened 1. So she is gonna panic, drop her sword, and she's going to walk towards this door, open it, and start walking out.
She fuck it and walks away.
She can only move 1/4 her land speed, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. So yeah. That's what I'm saying. So 1/4 her land speed to get to the door, 1 action to open it, and then walks 10 feet in to this room.
Alrighty.
And then Grimshaw, it is your turn.
All right, Grimshaw.
She didn't really have to drop her sword to do all that.
I know, but
it was the flavor of it.
Mm-hmm. Grimshaw just like. He's dragging, but like literally like Morningstar just dragging on the ground here, and then she doesn't hear it as he raises it. No.
Okay. God damn it, okay. Grimshaw.
Is this what number?
You're
is
so
this?
Bad at this.
Okay, this is okay. I thought it was a 1, but it's a 7. 7s okay. Look like 1s. This might hit with a 26.
That is exactly it.
Oh, yay. My gosh. All right, what do I get to add there, Elkwood?
D8.
Ooh. I hope you just roll 2 1s.
D8? Oh, my gosh.
And
16
him.
Points her. Of damage.
16 total on yeah. that one. Yeah, okay. She has 3 points left, so please describe your kill.
So, yeah, like I said, he's just dragging. You just hear that on the ground, and then silence. Swish through the air, and a thud as it just lands right on her skull and crashes her to the ground.
Yeah, you got one!
You ever hit a half-rotten watermelon with a sedan? Similar sound.
Alright, so combat has officially ended. You guys are able to kind of tone down for a few seconds. In 2 rounds, well, I'll say 3 rounds because I don't know when this happened. But Kezzer, your poison starts to kick in.
Oh,
yep,
that's right.
Oh.
You are enfeebled 1 and stupefied 1.
Well, that's not good.
For 10 minutes.
Well, it's as long as I need to rest.
You can huddle down.
Actually, I need to rest for a little longer than
but
that.
But after that, you will have to make another fortitude save, and then we'll see.
He's got the greater antidote. He's
I know.
Fine.
Yeah, that was just a very bad roll.
You said stupefied and enfeebled.
Yep. So you have stupefied 1, enfeebled 1 for 10 minutes. So, whenever you guys feel like you spent your 10 minutes, then we'll roll again and see how he feels.
All right.
Yeah, Kezra just like stumbles into the room and like sits in this chair at this desk. He's like, my head's a bit foggy.
Yeah, Grimshaw, he falls down to his knee, just like feeling like he's almost like gasping for air. He just like where he was, like doing that last hit kind of like took everything in him. And you see him just like do a quick lay on hands. And it looks like he's like trying to like meditate to like get a focus spell back, but he doesn't have anything left in him. He's just so beat down.
Want a cold Gatorade there, buddy?
I'm gonna need more than that. I don't know what I did. Something that one strike I missed, I just feel like something in me just...
And he looks over at Kezra, who is also, like, just kind of laid out.
These last couple battles really, really took it out of us. I don't know how much more any of us can take.
I'm pretty good, actually.
Yeah, but mechanically, I cannot recover my focus skills because that...
Oh, because
you're fatigued.
Because I'm fatigued.
Ooh, yep.
That sucks, yeah.
Yeah, I'm like trying to find some sort of thing that like maybe would say, yeah, you could do that. No, it's an exploration activity. Can't do it.
Damn, that sucks.
Let's hold up in this room till we can patch ourselves up.
Yes.
I would need to rest, like, a long time.
I mean, I can hold up in here for 8 hours.
So let's explore the rest of the floor.
Yes.
All right.
Let's check in the bodies to see if there's any potions, anything that we could probably use.
I'll say this. You find a vial that you're pretty certain was used on Kezra when she hit him with it.
Yeah.
So if you guys wanted to try to identify what he is afflicted with, you could try an alchemy check on that. Other than that, they just have their crossbows, short swords, and...
I got a 30 on crafting for that vial.
You did.
Mm-hmm.
That is... Yeah, I would say that's more than enough to know. You want to do this after the 10 minutes of your stupefied?
No, I can...
Okay, you can do it with it.
Recall knowledge while stupefied.
Then you recall knowledge while you're stupefied to know that this is something called Addlebrain.
Mm.
Oh.
Doesn't sound good.
So the description here is, the Scarlet Triad poisoners use toxins like Addlebrain to keep prisoners docile and compliant for short periods of time until they can be properly shackled and imprisoned. Addlebrain is distilled from a hallucinogenic lichen that can often be found growing in the sewers below particularly large cities like Katapesh.
Mm.
Once soaked in special reagents and then dried, a dose of Addlebrain must either be lit with flame or tossed into a fire to activate, whereupon it unleashes a cloud of toxin as normal or inhaled as poison. So they have some sort of mechanism for hitting you with this.
Did you say it's something found in Katapesh?
Particularly large cities like Katapesh, yeah.
Gotcha.
They try to hit you with this, knowing that you were the spellcaster. So it seems like they're getting smart to knowing who's going after them.
Hmm.
Just in this room, is there anything that we can use potions?
Let me give you one more thing here. Each of the Scarlet Tribe poisoners had one greater antidote on them.
Oh, whoa.
Oh, man, that's greater antidote?
Greater?
Yep.
Did the ones downstairs happen too?
They did not. But these were working up here, so that's why these would.
Mm.
Somebody
take that shit. It really helps.
All right.
Have we decided whether or not we're resting?
I think we kind of need to.
Well, we should save the antidote for tomorrow.
Yes, let's check out this other room up here first.
All right. So
don't get blindsided.
I'm gonna go north, west, and south in that order, because that's where all the good stuff is. So in the room that you guys are in right now, the one that the poisoners were in, there was actually a sign on the door to this that read Alchemy Laboratory in common.
Hmm.
When you guys go in, you can see that there is a stockpile of laboratory reagents and things like that that obviously these poisoners were using to make stuff. the alchemy's work tables appear to have several completed items of note.
Ooh.
These include, are you ready for this shit?
Okay.
4 greater bottled lightnings.
Whoa!
Damn. Oh man, that's good.
3 greater silver tongue mutagens.
Silver tongue mutagens.
Uh-huh. You find a very nice gem-encrusted tin.
Mm-hmm.
That, I'll tell you, is worth 200 gold pieces by itself.
Oh, shit.
Fuck.
And it contains 4 applications of Blightburn resin.
Ooh.
That sounds cool.
Along with 6 moderate healing potions. And 2 vials... each containing a dose of. Oh, actually, I want you to roll alchemy on this one.
Let me see that one.
33.
Mm. Two doses of Dust of Disappearance. That sounds cool. Yeah, a little magic dust. So yeah, that's all that's in that room.
Are there any formula books?
None that you haven't already seen. The formula books in here are making these things. So if you don't have these already, then you could add them to your formula book.
Hooray! Because I do so much crafting.
I know. So if you go into, so that was that room, H2C. So the center room. There's a sign on this one that says storage. Mm. But as you walk into it, you see it is converted into a bunk room with hammocks and beds for the poisoners. So you see that there's some like natural effects around. But yeah, just looks like sleeping quarters. If you go down to the southerly room, this is the one all the way on the bottom. The door to this, if you guys had gone to the front, there's a sign reading Golem Workshop.
Mm.
Oh, interesting.
Yep.
I wonder how long they've had control of this tower.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Like, they're labeling the rooms.
Yeah, the sheer fact that they're doing all this up here, too. Right. I mean, how long does it take to make a golem?
Yeah.
Tight 15?
These rooms might have been the original classrooms.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's just like original, the original purposes. Like, it's original purposes.
This was the Alabaster Academy, so it would make sense that they would have a tower with a golem workshop and an alchemy workshop.
Anything in the golem workshop, though? Not that I can look.
No, in fact, when you go in, it looks mostly empty, save for a few like broken or like rotted pieces of wood.
Mm.
But you see what looks to be some parts that you you can kind of piece together, especially Kezar knowing his like alchemy stuff or his crafting stuff. It looks like they had recently completed those alchemical golems, those noxious needlers. So somebody knows their stuff here in order to at least put the things together.
Wait, wasn't that book on the counter labeled Noxious Needlers 101?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You realize they have the book that you have the pamphlet of.
Yeah.
Noxious Needler and you. How to make your own guardian?
The expanded encyclopedia.
How to make your own abomination.
Step one, to get an Abby normal brain.
The name of the episode right there.
Abby normal brain.
Abby normal brain.
So do we want to barricade ourselves in the workshop? How do you want to do this?
Do we even want to be in the tower at all?
Do we have a ready way to just get out?
Just walk downstairs, right?
You know, there's like a bunch of shit down there, probably.
What do you mean?
We just came up from there.
Yeah. Didn't we come from the top down?
No.
Bottom up.
We've
been walking upstairs.
Elk and I flew up there and looked in windows, but no, we went in the bottom. We went in the basement.
Yes, we did.
Remember there was like four floors with nothing on it?
I wasn't paying attention.
I'm just like, battle cigarette. Started. I don't care where I am.
Just get killing. Fight me at the enemy.
Yeah, then let's get the hell out of here.
Yeah, I think it'd be definitely good just to get. I mean, we don't want to get trapped up here, too. Mm-hmm. So,
also, I kind of want to like check in with the. It's like there's a part of me that's like, yeah, we could crash at the Thorny Rose Tavern. But it's like, is that a good place to go back?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, we have Sir Thorn.
True.
So he could.
I would just say, for the hell of it, with these needlers and stuff like this, I mean, we could just. I mean, it doesn't matter, but it's just more or less, I'm just thinking in the idea of, like, anyone from the top floor coming down and seeing shit and then reestablishing more security.
Gosh.
They can't make new golems in one day.
That's true.
And we already killed five of them, so they built a couple barricades. I think we can handle it.
True. Okay. No, that makes sense. It's just, I hate to see them having some sort of... We'll just rest and be here right first thing.
Exactly.
I like the sound of that.
Yes. I would say somewhere close by that we can perhaps keep an eye on things, just in case people come in and out of the tower or whatnot.
Oh yeah, there's this tavern that's close to the academy. It's where all the students hang out.
We're gonna go to a college campus.
as the older people there, like
literally a few blocks away is the Long Roads Coffee House. So maybe not that one, but
not that one.
I'm talking about the other one. It's called
Red Robin. It's called the Pondering Orb.
The Pondering Orb.
The Pondering Orb is like one of those fishbowl drinks, actually. It's built on straws sticking out of it.
The Lizard Tavern.
Oh my god.
Yeah, of course it is.
Can't trust anyone in there.
I walk in and it's just a bunch of nerds. Kestrel, you can't go in there. You never ponder your orb.
Kestrel, I've been meaning to ask you, like, you don't ponder an orb, right, huh?
Hey, what I do in private is my business. I don't have to let you with you guys every day. Let me have my space.
Whatever he does with Lil' Kestrel is his own business.
not that again.
Alright, we head down, I guess.
All right, so you guys head down, and if you guys are going to the Pondering Orb, then yeah, you guys are well within distance, and because of the fact you know where Tannison Tower is, you can see it from where you are, so you could actually see, like, you know, you can keep a pretty good eye on it from here.
By the time we get down to the end of the tower, Kezra just keels over a bit because of the stomach. Like, still got that poison, right?
Yes, still has the poison.
Oh,
so
I thought it was from the flat white. I got you.
That probably did not help, honestly.
It's finally happening. Oh god.
So go ahead and make me the fortitude save.
God, didn't roll a well again. I think it's still better. 28.
That is a success.
Natural 6.
So you're fine.
Good enough.
So you feel better as you're like walking down. You guys get to the bottom floor, and those two teenagers are there, and you can see that the guy's leaned over, and then the girl is like rubbing her back, and she's like, "Listen, it happens to most guys, okay? It's not like it's the." And then she like looks up and sees you. She's like, "We should go. Sorry." And she just.
Kids are just like throws off right before they go.
It's funny because like we went up the tower and they saw us and we're all looking so you know looking all like chipper ready to go. We're coming back down, we're like bruised, bloodied,
smoking a cigarette.
Like actually, one of those injections from those golems might help you.
Got me in the arm with something I've been hard to rock for about an hour.
I said it was blood pressure medication.
Pressure's there, baby. Don't you worry.
Use that thing like a mace.
You get the Pondering Orb. The Pondering Orb is, as you said, it's a as you yourself said, it is a big wizard tavern. So you go in and there's two wizards doing a straight up Harry Potter like wizard battle.
Oh yeah, just like watch out.
Take this, and you see a few magic missiles go shooting off, and the guy and the other one cast shield, and he goes, "No, take this one," and you see that it's ignition, and they're like, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa! No fire in the bar! No fire in the bar!"
Benson in the crowd just like at a UFC event, just grab his dick and twist it.
Oh my god.
Everyone's like, what the hell?
Twist that dick! Mason, they outlawed telekinetic hand for these duels.
This is why you start out with helmet and football and you can't even grab it and twist.
You guys settle down for the night with a bunch of nerds debating over the meta of arcane traditions. What are you guys doing?
Actually, one thing that what I'll do, like when we're heading down the tower, and it's that he brings one of the poisoners' bodies with him because Vamir, you know, unfortunately, is outside. Maybe I'll try to bring him in next time. Don't know if he'll fit.
Very hungry boy.
He's very hungry. But no, he treats him, gives him the body and stuff like that. But he kind of just says a lot. He's just like, I'm kind of getting sick and tired of these damn slavers. They exterminate. We have to be careful. There's hostages upstairs.
I do enjoy watching you feed their bodies to your bird.
Yes. Well, I mean, I feel like he deserves something. I said I wish we could bring him in. Well, I mean, with his land speed of 5 feet in action, because I'm sure the ceilings are too small.
Very unnerving watching him walk.
It's kind of fun. It's kind of cute, to be honest, because he does, like, the little hop thing. Like, he doesn't really jump. It doesn't step well.
Mm-hmm.
He's just kind of petting Vamir's head. It's just kind of shame. He would be a great help, at least to take some of the pressure off. What do you propose that we do for in the morning? Like, as I said, there's 3 people up here that I've never seen before. They were blue. I think they were blue, right?
Yep. Yes. Yeah, they were of blue skin.
Blue skin. And then there was those thuggish brutes up there. And I believe it was 6 or 7 hostages. Well,
getting to the hostages has to be our first priority.
I know where the one room is. So what was it that we got from them, Kezra? What is that dust of disappearance? What does it do?
What does dust of disappearance do? I'm guessing it's invisibility.
But, like, it's a power. Yeah, like, it's just kind of like, instead of a spell, it's just an alchemy version.
I think so.
Dust of disappearance. This powder shimmers like 1,000 tiny motes of light, activating the dust by sprinkling it on yourself or a creature within reach. Cast a 4th rank invisibility spell with a duration of 1 minute on that creature. This invisibility can't be negated or seen through by any spell of 3rd level or lower, or any item of 5th level or lower.
So that's greater invisibility.
Is it? So, like, yes. I can attack with it?
Yes.
Ooh,
that's pretty cool.
4th rank. So that's
It says 4th rank invisibility spell. All that it says is that this ability, invisibility, can't be negated or seen through by any spell of 3rd level or lower, or any item of 5th level or lower. So it's just saying that, like, it has some caveats for, like, if somebody tried to use, like, see invisibility of 3rd level or lower, it actually wouldn't work.
So does it still go away after you attack then?
Yes. So it still goes away after he attacks, but if somebody had a spell or an item that was
wait,
of
does
lower
it say
level,
and they, or instead? Like, what was the wording again?
This invisibility can't be negated or seen.
Before that, it casts a 4th level invisibility spell, right? That's what it says?
Yes. So it says, activating this dust by sprinkling it on yourself or a creature within reach, cast a 4th rank invisibility spell with a duration of 1 minute on that creature.
Yeah, so I think that's I think what you're describing after that is in addition to. Otherwise, why would it specify 4th rank?
So 4th rank means duration is... It doesn't break when you...
It's 1 minute, and it doesn't break. It doesn't break when you do a hostile action.
Oh, so just 4th rank invisibility is greater visibility.
It is.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Oh,
I understand.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep.
Wow, that's
because normally it lasts 10 minutes, but it breaks if you do a hostile action. But if you hide it to 4th level, it's greater invisibility.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like something you do.
So wait, when does invisibility get to longer? So invisibility of 2nd rank is the 10 minute one, but if you upcast it to 4th, then it goes to 1 minute.
Yes.
But okay, I got you. Okay, all right. Oh, so it's not always a good idea to upcast something.
Exactly.
In that case, yeah. Okay. All right.
Cool. Well, that's a really good item to give to Elkwood.
That's
so good.
It is. Is it item level 9?
One or two? Oh,
gosh.
Honestly, give them both to you. Yeah, somebody else needs to take a mask, but I think you should hold on to them.
Yeah, definitely.
I will take that, yes.
Just, like, always flat-footed. Like, basically, that's a guarantee of a flat foot.
Yep, yeah. Guarantee of flat-footed.
Oh, yes. Honestly, you could take the alchemical potion, the lightning, bottled lightnings, because you can quick-draw that shit.
Greater.
You have the highest dote. You have the highest dex.
True.
And you can quick-draw.
I was just thinking, it should just be what type of throw, because you don't need a bandolier for that, right?
No. Bandolier's just only if you want to, like, add bonuses and stuff to it.
Yeah, you can just whip them off your belt and launch them. It's just a range attack roll. And they have an item bonus, too. So if it's a greater one, it might be, like, an item bonus,
at that level, yeah.
And which one was it, Bottled Lightning Greater?
Greater Bottled Lightnings.
Mm-hmm. Yep, four Greater Bottled Lightnings.
Ooh.
Yep.
Damn. All right, adding that in there.
Yeah, that has a plus two item bonus. And it's 3d6 electricity and 3 electricity splash.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they become flat-footed until the start of your next turn.
Off guard, but yes.
Yes.
The fact that it's on hit, target becomes off guard. That's like, that's awesome.
There's some dust.
There's not a save on that. It's just, you're off guard now.
Yeah.
Have fun.
You're off guard now. Okay. All right. Got that. I got that in here. And you said there was like 6 moderate healing potions?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes. Yep. 6 moderate healing.
Alright. 6 mod. Alright, cool.
What's the Blight Burn resin?
Ooh, I know. Yeah, I was looking at that.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds like something you would get in Elden Ring, to be honest.
I know, right? Blightburn resin. I started reading these because I was so excited about them. I didn't have you make any checks. This tacky, hard sap is harvested from trees infected by fungal blights and exposed to open flames. This is how cool this is. Are you ready for this shit? It is a poison. Contact poison. So one action to activate, to manipulate, to put it on your weapon. Saving throw DC 30 fortitude save.
Holy shit.
Whoa.
Now here's the thing. Onset 1 minute. But maximum duration is 6 rounds. I'm gonna go stage by stage on this. Stage 1, 66 poison.
Oh.
Stage 2, 7d6 poison. Stage 3, 9d6 poison damage.
Oh my
for
god.
For 1 round each. So you need to just go back and forth on that. So you get hit with that, right? 1 minute later, all of a sudden, dot damage.
Wow.
Just tick, tick, tick.
It's a DC 30.
DC 30 fortitude save.
I mean, damn. That's something else.
Once that's 1 minute, so it's like you have to... You'd have to, like, get people... outside of combat, basically.
Yeah.
For it to, like, make sense to use. Like, you'd have to, like, sneak up on somebody and, like, stab them with your infected blade and then, like, run away.
Run away like a character in Oblivion. Just be like, oh, what was that? Must have been the wind.
Or I guess you could put it on an arrow, I guess. Shoot him through the window.
Can you imagine, like, greater invisibility Elkwood does a sneak attack? You know... essentially sneak attack, runs away, we wait 50 seconds, 56 seconds, and then we hop up there.
And then they're like, oh, now we passed the fortitude save.
Right.
Actually, we're good.
Just pass the fortitude save and nothing happens, but...
Well, why'd you use it on the demon? Huh? Alright, so, yeah, anything else you guys want to know? Silver Tongue. Oh, let me just pull it up just so you can know what that is.
That sounds like it adds to, like, deception rolls or
greater
something.
Greater Silver Tongue. Your features become striking and your voice becomes musical and commanding. Mm. You look like Giga Chad.
wow.
That's what it says right here in the book. It's weird.
Wow, Paizo.
The facts and figures become hazy for you and emotions cloud your ability to reason. So this is a mutagen, obviously. Plus three item bonus to deception, diplomacy, intimidation, or performance checks. If your critical failures with any of these skills become failures instead. Cool. The drawback is you get a minus two item penalty to arcana, crafting, lore, occultism, and society checks. Choose one skill in which you are trained. For the duration, you become untrained in that skill. All of your failures to recall knowledge become critical failures.
Hopefully this is a Grimshaw and Benson potion. Plus the three bonus to intimidate, yeah. or diplomacy, yeah. or deception.
Yeah. Right.
And you don't do any of that other shit that...
You don't need society.
Your penalties too.
Yeah. Yeah, so figure that stuff out in your other downtime. Mm-hmm. But what are you guys doing tonight? You guys have these new things. You vaguely know what's up there. The main point here, though, is that you guys know that there are prisoners up there that need rescuing.
Yeah.
Let me ask: are you guys looking for healing? Are you looking to rest? Restoration take care of your fatigue, Grimshaw?
Sleeping takes care of fatigue.
It will, but like if time is of the essence, is that the idea?
I mean, you are the champion of Milani, so you tell me, but
I know.
You are the champion of all these people.
They need you.
The fate of the future is on your shoulders.
Restoration cannot.
So stupid.
Reduce
the value. Reduce the value of the target's clumsy, enfeebled, or stupefied condition by two.
Yeah, and at level four, you can do drained.
That's weird. Then... Does anything take away what?
That's kind of weird. That fatigue is so damn.
I was gonna say, powerful. I feel like
yeah. Like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm really tired. It's like, oh no, this other shit that hits. No, we can restore that.
Yeah, I think the thing that's, like, really rough is interesting. Okay, healing, spell level 4. There is a spell that none of us have. It's called Soothing Spring. And you steep in it for an hour, you get 10d8 hit points, and you lose the fatigue condition. Wow.
Might know a guy. No. Oh no, what about the Church of Desna? Do they got a healing spring in the back?
No, that's what I'm saying. So, you know, go ahead and, if you guys want to look for that as opposed to resting, you know, you can start making me a society check.
Oh, traditions are divine and primal. That means a certain someone would have been able to learn that spell.
Who?
Who are you talking about?
You get to see if Grimshaw can pull I know a guy in Kintaryo spring.
Diplomacy or Romeo society.
I don't want to rest, you know? Like, I don't want to spend 8 hours. Like, I do think time's of the essence. But, like, me being fatigued is, like, that's really bad.
I'm going to get it on this society check.
Yeah.
All right, I'll society 30.
Yeah, I got the same.
They beat me.
Okay. So yeah, you sort of ask around. You go to Sir Thorne, and he's like, what was his voice? Was it Idris Elba? I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's just like, I haven't known any divine casters that can do that, but maybe check out one of the priests of Desna or something like that, and see if one of them could help you.
Primal casters can also do it too. Do we know any druids that might?
And the Silver City? No.
Do I look druish?
yeah, I guess that was a silly thing. So we're gonna see if we can.
Desna?
Yeah. There's. I don't think there's like anything wrong with just trying to go check out the Church of Desna.
Why are you so vehement? You're like, I guess Desna. You know, Nesna helped me out, yo. She was chill and took away my drain condition, so.
The Bellflower Network might know something.
Bellflower Network's in shambles right now. I don't know if we can get in contact with them.
But yeah, let's head on over to the Church of Desna.
Elkwood, right. You were saying you know some people here or something?
Yeah. Yes, there's plenty of people. Yes, the cleric, he was able to treat my drained. When I was feeling under the weather from that one undead. But yes.
You guys came at night, right? So it's still like the middle of the night. Okay.
Crap, they're all so sleeping.
there's one guy who's awake. He's a halfling, and as you walk in, he walks up to you guys. He's played by Martin Freeman, and he's just like, shh, please. What can I help you all? You all look like hell. What happened to you all?
We've been through hell and back. Not literally, but figuratively. Because I know that sometimes literally that can happen in this world that we live in. But figuratively, we've been fighting some...
He's going to kind of suss him up. Like, do I know this guy? Because I don't know if I know too many people in the Church of Desna.
Roll me society.
Yeah, because I don't want to be like, I have a Scarlet Triad. Then he's like, oh yeah, and he just stabs me and kills me. Right?
I got you.
I got a 22.
22. He seems to be a pretty normal guy. He seems to just be one of the guys that's here. One of the clergymen.
Got you. In this church.
We've been adventuring and we ran into some trouble. We're just looking for some healing and a little something else.
Sure. My name is Florence. Please, can you come in and have a seat? And they bring you into a smaller chapel that they use to help people out. And he goes, tell me what's been going on. And he's starting to take out a kit, and you know he starts starting to like bandage up your wounds.
We're actually in search of a very powerful magic. It's known as Soothing Spring. Have you heard of it?
Yes. It is very powerful magic. Are you sure that you have the coin for this? It's not a cheap one.
Money is no object for our quest. Demands that we return to our work.
If you let me gather these things, then yes, I can do that for you.
Show us to your mud pit or your hot spring.
That's a requirement. It has to either be in a mud pit or like a pool of water.
So the for story purposes, they have a little magical spring.
The Desnian steam room.
The Desnian sauna. You guys go in and there's some guy who he looks like he's some tycoon. Very large man. He gets up and he's all sweaty and gross and he's just like, warmed it up for you. He's putting a towel on.
He like bumps by you, and there's just sweat coating on you, and you're like, ah.
Hey, so.
All right, cool. So, how much you want to charge me for this spell, there, Jake?
I didn't get that far.
Okay. Well, we'll figure that out off air.
Charges your mace. Your morning star.
Ew, anything but that.
Yeah, you like drop it and he goes, you know what? That should fit the bill.
This is a legendary artifact. It is priceless.
That's great. Awesome.
And cool. These are essential oils.
All right, so you go through the Soothing Spring. They offer it to all of you if they're doing one. Mm-hmm. But, you know, might as well thematically put you all in there.
Oh, yeah, it can fit up to 16 medium creatures.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Everyone, it's on the house. Come in.
Or a large creature, counting as 8 medium creatures, you can do a large and 18 medium. So Vamir could technically get in here.
Get in here. He does like the bird bath thing, like he's just splashing all over the place.
He puts his wings in and flaps the water all over the place. So you guys are in there for 1 hour.
Yeah.
So talk amongst yourselves about what you guys are doing for the next hour. And they'll heal you up for however many castings it takes.
It's just one casting. We're only going to take one casting because this is a fourth level spell. Like this is.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I just meant of like the regular healing like actual hit points. Gotcha.
We got an hour. I can just be, you know. Well, actually, I can't until after. I can't lay hands until afterwards. So maybe we linger a little longer in there.
I mean, there's enough clerics. I mean, they're probably just like, yeah, here, have a decent thing. I mean,
so. Benji's got it for free, though. We have healing at home, Elquid.
We have healing at home.
Fine. Sometimes you just like to eat out. Sometimes, you know, just that sort of thing.
We're just going to go here, and you guys are just going to keep laying your hands on us.
All night long.
They goes, sir, we have masseuse for that.
Shut up!
No, I like when these beefy champions give me massages.
Really get in there to the deep tissue, you know what I'm saying?
So are we rolling individually that 10d8? Or did you want to roll it for all of us?
Roll it for all of you. Let's do that.
Cool.
But so while you guys are healing, let's talk about your next plan, because you guys are going to be gone here for about 2 hours, I would say. So you need to think about what you guys are doing here in the next in your next trip up.
I could fly by the windows again, take a look inside before we head back up.
Yeah.
See if they laid any traps.
Yes, that works. Just because. I mean, who knows? We made a hell of a racket down there. I mean, they might have someone and are putting the hostages in precarious situations that we'd have to go through them. I mean, the worst case scenario, besides them just murdering every single person up there, is using them as meat shields.
Right. I wonder if we shouldn't try to do top down now that we've cleared a couple floors.
I said, I do remember where two of the rooms were, and they didn't look like there was anyone in them. It was just people chained to the beds. I can take care of the chains. However, there was the one room of the two thugs pushing. It was just the one man around, I think, right?
There was three prisoners in there, but they were bullying one of them.
Yeah, they were bullying one of them. So we would have to perhaps draw them out and hope for the best, but I can if they did not try anything else in those two rooms, then I could probably sneak out of several people before we have to deal with any of that. But yes, let's see if anything has changed first.
Yeah, I like that plan.
If we want to go in through the top, how do we get everybody up there?
You said you have a way to transport a couple of us, Kezra? And then, Benson, you have the cloak available for today, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So Benson has the cloak.
But where is he going to teleport to?
It'd have to be like Elkwood, like, breaking in a window, and then he'd teleport.
But the thing is, like, why would we need to go from the top down?
Well, you're already at the top.
Because, I mean, like, there was just one floor above us, and that's it.
Yeah.
There was only one more.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, there's only one more floor.
Yeah, you were on the seventh floor. Yeah. On the seventh floor.
Oh, my gosh. No way. I didn't realize we just had one more floor left.
Well, I mean, when there's, like, five floors of nothing,
right.
I mean,
it's
kind of speeds things along.
Okay.
But Elkwood was, keeping count.
I
meticulously looked at each floor.
Man, if maybe I would have tried to get us to push a little harder if I'd have known. Maybe I just would have been like, yeah, I'll just fight through the fatigue. Because I thought we had two more floors.
No, it was just one floor, but at the same time, you don't know if those lay on hands would come in really handy.
That's true, yeah.
I mean, it's no sense going half-cocked and then just getting cut down by somebody. Plus, we needed healing.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Let's go.
All right.
So, 41 points just from the spell, and then we can just fill in lay on hands with the rest.
Yep.
Okay. So, let's say you take maximum 3 hours. So you guys go back. You make your way down the block. You get to the bottom of Tannison Tower. You open up the doors, and you just see these two teenagers are just sitting there.
Oh my God.
Talking.
Goddamn. They're just persistent.
They've just been here like all night.
As you go to like open up the door, they're like, oh my gosh, I love ice cream too.
God, like you make really me sick. You really.
It smells like vomit in here. What are you even doing here?
you ruined their sappy romantic evening, and they're like, fine, let's just go to another tower, and they just like walk across the block to the other.
How many towers do you have?
Oh, it's a wizard school. There's 100.
It's the third time we met you. We might as well learn your names.
Yeah.
I hear my mom calling.
That's an order question.
they go away. You guys start walking up.
I mean, they're definitely Scarlet Triad agents. Like, at this point, we've seen them three times. There's no way.
Should have killed him when we had the chance.
No, that was the fourth time. Because you broke it the fourth time. You came down. Right. You came down when you had to interrogate. Yeah. You came down just now, or like just right. before this, and this is the fourth.
Oh my god!
So we've established that Kezra can't count.
That's true. That is canon.
It's true.
Pretty presumptuous to say that I can read.
You guys head up floor by floor.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You get to 6. And you get to 7. And when you guys get to 7, you hear footsteps running upstairs ahead of you. Yeah.
Alright, we need to send in Elkwood and Kezra with the vials of the misty dust of disappearance. And you guys just go up there and just start blasting them.
I would just say the problem right now is just making sure we're not going into a full trap like situation. Yeah. I think probably what that was a panicked person running back up going, oh shit!
Yeah.
But I gotta make sure that I use the vial at the right time because it only lasts a minute.
Only a minute, yeah.
And Jake would be like, and 59 seconds later you make it up the stairs.
Hey, I would say 54 seconds, okay? I give you
one round.
I'll give you one round. You guys start going up knowing that you are going to the top of the Tannison Tower. And whoever is up here is a powerful, powerful person. And I'll see you guys next time.
Hey,
you will.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
I want to come on.